first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 8. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers are silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Spirit has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's so much in our gospel reading this morning, so much there that those of you who regularly attend Bible studies, it'd probably take me like 3 months to get through today's gospel reading. There's a lot going on. There's a lot there. So this morning, I'm going to primarily focus on just one verse, the first verse of our gospel text. Not just that verse. Of course, I'll be pulling in from the entire reading. But when Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, that right there says a lot. First of all, like several other times in John's gospel, here Jesus uses the famous words, I am. We heard this last week as well when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In Greek, it is an I am that is emphasized. I am. This word in Greek, ego eimi, is far more than the obvious, just the subject, I, and the verb, am. With these two words, Jesus is referring back to the Old Testament, a reference that the disciples would have understood when they heard it, and that we should understand today. Of course, in Exodus chapter 3, God's name is revealed to Moses from the burning bush. Moses is standing before the burning bush, and Moses asks God, he says, if people ask me what your name is, what shall I tell them? And Jesus, or God, responds to Moses. He says, Yahweh, which of course the ESV translates as, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am, or Yahweh, has sent me to you. And when the Old Testament is translated then into Greek, some 270 years prior to Christ, called the Septuagint, how do you suppose Yahweh there is translated into Greek? You guessed it, ego eimi, I am. So with these two little words, Jesus is making it clear to his disciples today and to you today that he is Yahweh. Jesus is God. The God of the Old Testament is Jesus, the Son, the very second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is the Son of God who became a man in order to accomplish the mission for which his Father has sent him, to redeem sinners, to redeem the world, to merit salvation for all mankind, and to perfectly follow the Father's will, obedient to the Father, laying down his life on the cross for the sake of his sheep, and rising again 3 days later. Second, Jesus says in this verse that he is the true vine. True. Jesus is true, the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. His word alone is truth, not the lies of the world. They speak their lies and the world listens, as we heard in our epistle reading, but his word is truth. We heard this again last week as well. His sheep listen to him, listen to his voice, listen to his word, listen to the truth, and follow his voice, his word, the truth, alone. Third, by calling himself the vine, Jesus is saying that he is the source of forgiveness, life, faith, salvation for all who believe. He is everything. Christ is all in all. He is the true and only source for wisdom, strength, and courage that's needed in order to live according to faith and live a godly life, a God-pleasing life, to make us joyfully confess the truth that he speaks to us, and to make us wise unto salvation according to faith in Jesus Christ. He is the vine. And we, his disciples, his followers, are the branches that flow from the vine. So by definition then, a disciple is a follower of Christ, one who is attached to him, one who is connected to him, united to him, the vine. To be a Christian simply means to receive everything from Christ, right? That's how, I'm not a botanist, but that's how a vine and branches work, right? All the nutrients needed to supply the branches with leaves and fruit comes from the vine, the source. And that's what Jesus is getting at. Then being cared for and provided for by Christ alone, the branches, we, will naturally produce fruit, fruit that is in the love of God and the love of our neighbor, as our epistle reading abundantly makes clear. 1 John 4, as John says in our epistle, love one another. Love your brother. You cannot hate your brother and say that you love God. Love God, love one another. Jesus is saying that he is the one and only source of his disciples' faith and their good works. Specifically, in the context of our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus is talking about remaining in the faith, remaining united to him. Jesus tells his disciples then and us now, he says, you already are clean. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. You already have faith. You already are united to him because through his word that he has given you this faith in word, in his word, to sanctify you and to make you united to him. Jesus spoke his word, his true word, to his disciples. He has spoken it to you. He has spoken it into your ears. He has poured it over your head at the font, and he has given it into your mouth at the altar. He has already made you clean. You are clean. You're forgiven of all sin. You are declared righteous in his sight. Now, how do you remain there? How do you remain in Christ? How do you abide in him? How do you stay connected, united, attached to Christ, the true vine? For many, many folks think that it is up to them, that it is something we do, that we have to accomplish this in and of ourselves. We have to do works, something that we have to do in order to remain in Christ. But Jesus makes it clear here in our gospel reading, just as the gospel has brought you into the faith, it has converted you into the faith, the gospel also preserves you in the faith. The moment that Christ brought us into the faith, he created in each one of us a new man, a new creation, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, as our banner says. By God's grace alone, you have been made new, a new creation. You are a regenerate believer. You are a saint. This new creation, this new man in us that God has created in us is very much alive, not dead, but alive. He is alivened by the gospel, Christ crucified and risen for forgiveness of our sins. We do, therefore, produce fruit. Naturally, just as a good tree produces good fruit, for this is who we are now in Christ. No credit to us, all credit to God for giving us the faith to abide in him and the faith to lead a God-pleasing life. All credit to God alone. And of course, it's true that we remain sinful in this life. We remain sinful until the day we die, or if Christ were to return first, which is why the Christian life remains a struggle this side of heaven. However, already clean by the word that God, Christ has spoken to us, we are united to him. We are attached to him, connected to him, forgiven, washed clean of our sins. We are united, attached, connected to him, and he is united, attached, connected to us. All who are made clean by his word are united to God by grace through faith. And that should bring us tremendous comfort, for Christ abides with you and in you. To remain in the faith is to remain connected to the vine. Like conversion, this happens by God's grace. This happens through his word and through his sacrament. The means or the ways by which he delivers his grace and his love and his forgiveness to you. This is where he has promised to be present for you, to forgive you, to strengthen you, and to keep you in the true faith. Abide in me and I in you, Jesus says. Here he promises that he will remain connected, united, and attached to his disciples. So how do you remain in Christ? How do you abide in him? How do you stay connected, united, attached to Christ, the true vine? Remain in his word and in his sacrament. And receive, as just as a branch receives from the vine, receive the nutrients, the growth that is needed for your life of faith and love. And then naturally, by necessity, you will produce fruit. You will lead a God-pleasing life by loving and serving those God has placed in your life to love and to serve. However, there's no chance you're going to produce this lively, good fruit unless you remain in him, unless you remain united to him. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Apart from Christ, we are nothing, we have nothing, and we can do nothing except sin. Jesus says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. Which is why Jesus sternly warns against separating ourselves, cutting ourselves off from the vine, the source for all that we need. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Condemnation, apart from Christ. Yes, Jesus is the source. He is the vine. He feeds us. He produces good works in us, created anew and fed by God, by his grace and his love for us. We then go and we love, and we love those God has called us to serve. We love because he first loved us, John says in our epistle. That's what that means. Now, there's one more part to this first verse. Jesus says, my Father is the vine dresser. So it is the Father who cuts, it is the Father who trims and prunes us, that we may grow in faith, that we may be a healthy plant and grow and flourish and produce even more fruit. Out of love for us, the Father corrects us when we fail. He brings us back when we stray. He disciplines us when we fall into sin. For example, when we're not doing as we ought to do, not serving and loving those God has placed in our lives to love and to serve. And he causes us then to fight against that sin, a fight against our old Adam, and subdue our sinful nature and live for him. And a lot of times, our Father's pruning hurts. It hurts. Our old Adam doesn't like being cut. He doesn't like being trimmed. He doesn't like being pruned by his Father. But our new man does, for he knows in faith that it is ultimately for his good. The Father also trims and prunes us through our hardships and through our tribulations. Now, we may not always know what God is doing and how he is using pain and suffering in our lives, but we do know ultimately that he indeed is using it to drive us closer to him, closer to Jesus, the source, the true vine, closer in our dependence and trust in Christ alone, closer to his presence in his word and sacrament for us. So if you're going through any kind of hardship, any kind of pain, any kind of suffering, while we may not have all the answers, know that your Heavenly Father is no doubt using that to trim and to prune you, to keep you connected to him, attached and united to the true vine, so that you may continue to grow in faith, in love, and in your dependence and trust on Jesus, and you may bear even more fruit. Trust not in yourselves, not in your works, not in your own ability to remain united to Christ, not in that. Trust in Christ, crucified and risen for you. Come and receive the very fruit of the vine, the fruit of Christ himself, his very body and blood. For what do you hear when you are dismissed from the table of the Lord? Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Take heart and rejoice and know that you are connected to the vine. You are a new creation. You abide in Christ and he abides in you. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.